You're Graham Johnson, and I'm talking with Jill Sayward, the voice of Shack Attack. Jill, your 1981 track, Easier Said Than Done, got you a lot of radio airplay. Can you tell us a bit about this?
Easier Said Than Done was the first biggie hit. And, I mean, that was worldwide. That was fantastic. The minute I did the vocal on that, I can remember standing in the studio thinking, whoa, this has got something really special about it. This is going to go, this one. And, of course, it did go. I was so glad to be a part of it. Of course, straight away, in those days, when a single had gone, the companies, record companies on your tail saying, quick, follow up, get something else ready, we need the album. And it was very quick. We went into the studio and they said, we need an album, we need blah, blah singles, let's just go for it.
Your follow-up single, Nightbirds, reached the top 10 on the charts, and the album of the same name was your first gold album, entering at number 4 and remaining in the charts for 28 weeks. That's quite a while. I guess by now it was clear that the public loved Shack Attack's music. Tell us a little bit more about that, and how would you describe the music?
The next single was Nightbirds, which took us to even greater heights because it seemed to open up the world, particularly Japan and Asia. We had no idea how big it was until we actually went out to Japan for the first tour. And we were gobsmacked. We were doing stadium gigs and, you know, concert halls, 3,000-4,000 people, matinee performances as well. It was huge. And Nightbirds was one of the biggest selling albums in Japan, even bigger than Thriller, I believe. So at the time, it was massive. And we were TV featured the whole time. The track was used on advertising. We knew we'd made it big time then. And then really Shack Attack became Shack Attack the serious business, and not Shack Attack the four guys bumbling about being session players. The product by that time had been qualified. The name then was Jazz Funk, although the Japanese have always called it Jazz Fusion, which I actually prefer. And that's how we're classified, I think, to this day. Certainly the Japanese preference, Jazz Fusion.
You achieved huge success in Japan with the number one jazz album there, and you're also very popular across Europe and South America. The group did a lot of touring at this time. How did you find this?
Then from the touring point of view, you can imagine everything went absolutely crazy. We were touring 300 days a year. I can remember, you become oblivious to where you are. We travel out to Asia for about 6 weeks, including a few weeks in Japan, and then we'd gone out to Borneo, Indonesia, Kuala Lumpur, all over the place. And I can remember thinking, I haven't got a clue where I am. I know this is a beautiful hotel. You never had time to leave the hotel. You would arrive, rest, unpack, and then sound check would be 3-4 o'clock, concert time for 7, then you leave for the next venue. So I don't remember seeing an awful lot. I remember the hotels. I remember having good fun and stuff. But if I had the time again, I would have loved to have had more spare time to have seen where I actually was. I can remember one time we used to fly out privately from Stansted. We have little jets organised for us because the schedule was so tight. I can remember my mum saying to me, where are you off to today? I said, "Oh, okay, I'll let you know. I'm not sure yet. I'll tell you when I get to the airport." And I remember seeing everybody getting on the little six-seater plane. I knew it was somewhere in Europe. And sitting there, 3 hours later, we're on our way, flying high, and falling asleep, waking up on a runway somewhere, and mum calling mum from the airport, not realising, have you got a clue where I was? I hadn't got a clue what country I was in, anything at all. I thought, well, this is crazy. I'm losing the plot.